What a win.
That was just unbelievable. 2024-esque for the Padres, left four dead, trailing 6-0. They come all the way back, and Jackson Merrill, a hero multiple times, had the massive play, taking away a two-run home run earlier, and then he walks it off with a two-run double down the left field line that actually hit the chalk as the Padres miraculously walk off the Mariners and win it 7-6. And Andres Munoz remarkably started that ninth inning in a non-save spot, and the Padres, against the best bullpen in the sport, win it 7-6. They come all the way back. John Schaefer, Matt Devine, DSG, Kevin Acey will join us later. He has work to do after this comeback. He was going to join us if the Padres didn't win. Thankfully, they did. So we'll get underway. First of all, if you're here live on replay right now, subscribe. All right, we're here for you. Weekly Padres content. Appreciate the super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box to see the first super of the night. We will get to it here over the course of the next hour or so. So get your supers in. We will get to those. Matt, you were watching this thing all night, as I was. Just one of those nights where for a moment it felt like, I can do the dishes. I can watch the Clippers.
Exactly.
But you have one eye on what's playing out, and they just kind of hung around enough until one of the biggest ninth innings they've really had in the last 20 years, truthfully, at Petco Park.
I mean, John, the chat, shout out the chat. I could already see there's a bunch of legends in here right now. I won't lie, guys. That was as exciting of a ninth inning, as exciting of a baseball game as we get, right? Randy Vasquez has been incredible all season. Didn't have his best stuff today. We go down early, right? 4-0. Randy gives up that absolute rocket to Julio Rodriguez. Jackson makes that insane play. Mr. John Schaefer, right across from me, tweets, "Hey, if we win this game, remember that." Then he also tweets a little later and says, "Hey, we're probably not going to win this game, so I won't give you too much credit." But, man, that game, right? So there's so many people you got to give credit to. I would start with Alec Jacob, Wandy Peralta, two guys. Even Ron Marinaccio did all right. He gave up that two-run homer. Luke Raley was an all-star today. So Ron Marinaccio comes in when Randy doesn't have his best stuff. Gives up two runs, but could have been a lot more. Had some runners on and got out of most of those innings. Then Wandy comes in, and Alec Jacob comes in a four-run game. He was on a flight from – he was on a Southwest flight from El Paso last night, John. Southwest flight.
Insane.
Comes in, and he's like, "Hey, I'll give us six outs, no runs." That's huge, because then you go into the ninth inning, right? You text me, Kevin texts me, "Hey – I'm like, where's the link? We're gonna have to talk. Yeah. We're gonna have to have some Dodgers fans in the chat being like, you guys suck again. We won all this stuff." I was already preparing for it. I was ready to go, and then we started to hit a little bit. I'm like, okay, I'm seeing something. I wasn't gonna go full overboard. Andres Munoz. I feel like we're reminded of it every time we play the Mariners. They fleeced us in that trade. All time fleece trade. One of AJ Preller's worst. Andre Munoz, the fireman's on the bump. I don't know what's going on with this team, John. You know, if you were to say from our first episode of Padres Collective during the season to now, I'd be like, pinch me, right? This is a completely different team. I don't know if it was the World Baseball Classic hangover. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Sousa Palooza, the Sousa sessions that we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Like Kevin said, the underlying metrics say this is a good hitting team. And they're showing it. Xander Bogaerts, another guy you got to give.
Oh, my gosh. He's been great.
This is who we paid the money to. So, John, I'll let you go. But all I can say, and as you can hear in my voice, I feel like I just, ran a mile. I'm on one right now.
I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what. It's incredible. And it's like you watch baseball long enough and you'll see something you've never seen. As I like to say, I mean, it's really an amazing sport. I mean, I'm 45. I've watched literally thousands of games. I've called thousands of games. And the beauty of this sport, unlike a lot of the others, is you literally see things you just never anticipate. And it happens more often than you think. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, a leadoff walk always gives the team hope, you know. And when you come on and you allow a leadoff base runner, and shit, I thought he was going to get out of it. When he got Tatis, like Tatis is in that spot where you're like, oh my gosh, he's representing the tying run. There's one out in the ninth inning. He lifts a ball, but it's off the end of the bat. He flies out. You're like, you know what? Good night. You know, you rallied. You made it a game. First of all, who was down 0-2? Campy. I mean, Campy is a reason for like two of these seven wins. You're down 0-2. By the way, that's on Munoz. He leaves an 0-2 slider just right over the plate. You got to be wasting pitches that are unhittable. He doesn't. Campy makes him pay. Then their anti-doubles defense first and second. Laureano plunks a ball in. I think if it's normal defense, the guy just catches the ball.
Yeah, easy.
And then Merrill, I mean, you talk about a perfectly placed ball. as was the double down the left field line from Sheets, by the way. I mean, that was incredible. What are the odds that happens? And then what are the – Merrill, you're talking about a game, literally a game of inches. Yeah. You hit the ball 1 foot to the left, who knows? They might lose this game here tonight, 6-5. So this is one of those games, and there's a couple now, down 4-0 in Boston, but this is much more improbable. You have all the vibes. They believe, and a team that believes is a dangerous team, and especially when it's early, because you're going to take this with you when there is a two-game losing streak or when you do lose a series. You take this with you in May and June and July, or whatever month I just said.
Yeah, I got you.
For a moment, you kind of forget about the Nick Pivetta news. You know, like that, put it to the side. They've won 7 straight. It's April. We'll worry about that when we need to worry about that. But the Padres are scorching hot. Now, obviously, they're the hottest team in baseball, and you could argue right now they're playing like the best team in baseball.
John, that's why we watch sports, man. That exact game is why we watch sports. That's why people show up to the ballpark. That's why people have group chats with their friends that they played Little League with growing up. That's freaking out. I feel like I get texts from my old Little League coaches, and I'm like, how does this guy have my number? My old history teacher from high school is texting me like, Maddie, you see that game? I'm like, this is why we root. This is the community. This is Padres baseball. This is just sports in general. When you have a win like that, that builds something, right? It builds something within the fan base. It builds something within the team. The Nick Pivetta news, we'll touch on it later. That news sucks. There's no sugarcoating that. That news sucks. That being said, there's a couple things the team could do, right? Our ace goes down. Let's roll over against the Mariners at home. This was a easy game to roll over. And guess what? I would have been on this stream, John, being like, this team's playing great baseball.
Oh, me
too. Lost 6-2. I would not have even come close to talking anything negative about this team. They've been playing great baseball before the comeback. You give this team and you give this city something to root for early. Kevin and you and Kevin mentioned on the last show, and I loved this take because I vividly remember this game. 2024, we're playing the Chicago Cubs. We're down 8-1. Yep. We're down 8-1 early. And, you know, that was a game Tatis hit a, you know, massive home run. I forget who it was off of, one of the relievers for the Cubs. And that game kind of started giving us a little bit of an identity in 2024. There's no reason. And I know people will be like, oh, it's April. You know, you're only and we're going to go through some stretches that are not fun baseball. And I always try to tell myself, John, because I know when those stretches come, I look back at nights like this and I'm like, man, I should have appreciated that a little bit more because this is why you're a fan. It's April. It's regular season baseball. Hey, who knows if this game is the game that sends us to the playoffs or does what? But all I'll remember is being here, you know, after doing my laundry in the ninth, right? In the top of the ninth, I was doing my laundry. Yeah, I was doing my laundry and I was like, okay, I got to get the link and do all this stuff. What a win, man. And it's a perfect example. And I want to give Craig Stammen some shout outs too, man. What a ballsy / awesome move to put Tatis in that spot for Cronenworth. It's so easy to have Crone go up there against Andrés Muñoz, lefty. You're like, hopefully Crone can get a knock. No, Tatis on the bench. You have Tatis go up there. You have the fans get into it. The fans believed when Tatis came up, he might hit a grand slam. We might tie this up. Even though he hits a great at-bat, by the way, lines it out to right. You know, I was like, okay, well, that was a cool moment. Good for Tat, you know, good for Craig to get those guys going. And then, man, from Campy, who – I can't even explain how happy I am for him because myself, my brother, you, pretty much any Padres fan probably has been like, dude, this guy sucks for a while. And him getting this opportunity through Craig Stammen, Mike Schilt hated him. Campy's getting some ABs. What is Campy doing with those at-bats? He's making it happen. He wasn't even starting tonight. That is how great of a game baseball is. Freddie Freeman gets hit out because he gets possibly concussion. Hopefully he's all right. But that, if Fermin's up there, who knows if Fermin gets the hit? So it's just an awesome game, man. And shout out the chat. I have no idea how many people are in here, but I can only see how quick the comments are going. I have a feeling there's a lot of Friar faithful in this chat. So, man.
So there's over 300 people here live, which means for a number of you, it's your first time here. If you haven't subscribed, this is only our 6th or 7th episode. We've been doing weekly content since the start of spring training, essentially. So if you are new to the channel, and I'm sure a lot of you are, please subscribe. Thank you for the super chats. We appreciate your support. You can click the dollar sign below the chat box. That's a great point on Fermin. Obviously, you're hopeful that he's all right. But secondarily, that's the thing about baseball, too. It's like if it never happens, and of course you wish it didn't, and you hope Fermin is fine. But if it never happens, does the game play out like this game played out? And we'll never really know that. And then that ninth inning, man, you could play baseball. You could play 100 innings and not have an inning like that. when you get the sheets hit, like we talked about, when you get the Merrill moment that plays out, when you get the O2 hit from Campy, it's just, it sometimes snowballs like that. Listen, we've all seen it on the opposite side.
Yes,
everyone has seen it unravel. The beauty of Mason Miller is you hope you prevent that from occurring at any point, but you still never know. You could have any closer and things can happen. I will say this. How many times have you had this discussion over the years? When you put a closer in a game in a non-safe spot, there's something between the ears. Maybe it's a tie game and it's not a safe spot, or maybe it's a four-run lead. And oftentimes you don't have that same mindset. And it's, you're talking about just one plate appearance can change the complexion of the inning. And all of a sudden there's two on and nobody out. And you're like, interesting, because one more reaches and the tying run is coming to the plate. So it was just, it was the Padres of 2024 what it was. And at this point, it's like, how can you not be fully sold on the team? Not to say that, you know, this is, you know, not to say they're not going to go through stretches or that they're not going to have work to do, or they couldn't address their rotation issues right now with Nick Pivetta, or you wouldn't want to add a Lucas Giolito. I mean, this is all a conversation for the days and weeks and months ahead. But in real time, the Padres have the second best record of baseball. And that's an unbelievable start. You can't really ask for more than that, from 2-5 to winners of 10 of 11 and 7 straight. I mean, awesome. There's been a lot of years they haven't won 10 out of 11 games or even 7 consecutive games. And here we are on tax day and they've won 7 consecutive games.
John, it fires me up, man. I mean, you like always, you put it perfectly. I think this team is playing just some great baseball, and I'm trying to appreciate every moment, because obviously – we've seen it with other teams, what the Mariners are going through right now. Trust me, the Padres have been there. And I'm hopefully with what you mentioned before, we have a great bullpen, but bullpen arms are volatile. You know, sometimes you don't have your best stuff. I'm not going to say that one of our perfect example, Adrian Morejon last year didn't have, I can't remember an inning where he didn't have his best stuff. Beginning of the season, first two of his outings, some tough luck. You look at Andres Munoz today, right? He comes in, Manny Machado, who has been, his average doesn't look great, but his at-bats have been really good.
Sure.
Really good. I'm honestly, and I could be critical to Manny 100%. My brother is a Manny Glazer. I am a, you know, I like to call it how it is with Manny Machado. He's been putting up some great at-bats and getting on base a ton. So that leadoff walk was not an easy, it wasn't like Munoz just couldn't find the zone. Manny, he battled some pitches. That was a great at-bat. So Manny walks, and then Sheets with the double. And Gavin Sheets, man, he was nice enough to come on the podcast, you know, this offseason. Could not be a cooler guy, right? Like, he's just a really nice dude. And you get non-tendered from the Chicago White Sox, the worst team in baseball in 2024. And you come to San Diego, you win yourself a job, and you become a fan favorite. I have friends that don't even watch baseball that, you know, I'm at work and they're like, what's that Holy Sheets chant that I heard? I was at the bar, or like I was at the restaurant and, you know, the game was on and I heard everybody chanting Holy Sheets. Like, what is that? Right. And it's like the Padres are building something here. And hey, is this team going to win the World Series with the rotation we have? I have no idea. Right. And that's why every single day is awesome. That's why you have to love baseball. 162 games. Is every game going to be like this? No, but you got to appreciate the games like this. And then also, hey, if this team shows me what they did today, which is you're down 6-2 with the bottom of your lineup up, or, you know, middle of your lineup up against one of the best closers in baseball, and you fight, and not even, you know, you're not always going to win, but you fight. That's all you can ask for as a fan, man. You're not going to win every game, but the fight is what I ask for. I always like to say on our podcast, right, with me and Mike, I always say, you know, I want hungry dogs on this team, John. I love watching guys that look like, hey, I'm playing for a check. Like, I'm playing to make, like, I want to win. And the number one guy that does that, since he's come to San Diego last July, you probably can answer this question. God's first.
Loriano.
I don't have kids. I know you have a son. Yeah. I want my son or daughter, hey, whichever, to play like Ramon Loriano. Whatever sport. It could be baseball, softball, handball. It could be gaming. You could play Call of Duty. I don't care. But if you play like Ramon Loriano, where you're just like, just locked in, that's my guy, man. He runs hard. He plays hard. I love this dude.
By the way, great points, by the way. John Schaefer, Matt Devine, please subscribe. All right, we're here for you each and every week on the Padres Collective. Kevin Acey is expected to join us coming up. Make sure to subscribe to this channel. Thank you for the supers. We appreciate your support of the channel. There's a lot to get to, Matt. For example, Craig Stammett has said Freddie Fermin is fine. So that was precautionary. That is a positive, obviously, for the San Diego Padres, who just out of nowhere win this game. You know, unlike, you know, I mean, this goes without saying, obviously, but like we said, things happen in baseball that don't happen in other sports. Not to say other sports don't have things happen. They do. But the untimed game, you just never know when you're walking. I mean, there's no clock. We're not waiting on anything. I mean, it really is that 27 out thing. You know, it's like you were working with one strike and you were working with one out. And the complexion, listen, you lose this game 6-5, I think you hang your head high in the clubhouse and say, listen, we battled. We're fine. We're doing everything we should be doing. We keep playing like this, we'll be winning more than we're losing. And you're feeling fine in the clubhouse if you lose this game 6-5. But you win this game 7-6, and you believe anything is possible.
Yeah.
And that's the key for me. Because last year, it was a lot of start and stop. And it, even though they won 90 games, but remember, I think they won their last three or four games to get to 90. And they started 14-3. And from there, they were a 500 team, which was fine. Yeah. They were in the postseason. But the writing was on the wall a lot of last year. I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr. went 80 games and hit 2 home runs. I mean, you're not really thinking this is baseball's best team other than 14-3. Well, right now you're like, well, hold on. They've got a bullpen that's legitimate. They have an offense that, man, I looked 2 days ago and their OPS was 7th in baseball. I'm like, how? So yeah. I don't know what it is now. It might be top 5 or 6 in the sport. The rotation, okay. I would agree there are question marks. I mean, Randy Vasquez today wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
Michael King's been good, but you know, jury remains out. He's coming off the injury. Now we have the Nick Pivetta situation. Bueller Marquez, we'll see. So, I mean, listen, I had Dan Zimborski from Fangraphs on the radio today. He comes up with Zips projections. His last name is why they are Zips projections at Fangraphs. Heading into today, Zips projections gave the Padres a 40% chance of making the postseason. And I'm like, well, why? You know, they're 11-6. And it has to do with, can you keep this roster together? Can you stay healthy? Will the rotation remain intact? So the point is, like, yeah, you want to be somewhat measured, but I'm telling you, watching each and every game like you are, I don't care what the projections and the numbers say. I'm just telling you, this team has an it factor. And when you have that it factor, I believe everything else takes care of itself. So that's how I feel right now about this team. There are twists and turns over 162, but I can't be convinced this team doesn't have an it factor and won't carve its way through the season, winning more series than not.
Fired me up, man. I mean, yeah, everything you said is true, right? It's like, I think I sometimes, and a lot of fans, right, you get this idea of you're always looking in the future. We're like, oh, but what happens if, you know, oh, but our rotation, like we're looking. Sometimes you got to just enjoy the night, right? Hey, everybody at Petco Park tonight, there's some memories that were made tonight. There's probably someone that was at their first baseball game that's like, I love this team. Like, that is why baseball's special. That's why being a part of this fan base is special. We got 300 people in here. It's like, these are the type of nights you got to celebrate a little bit, right? Hey, we didn't win the World Series. That was a fun game. And if you give me more of those games and you give me more fight, because that's my thing, right? It's like, hey, you win 6-0 against the Nationals. Hell yeah, man. Like, I love a good win. Love it. Yeah. I'll go to bed next day, probably forget about the game. I'm not going to forget about this game. Like, this is a game. This is a moment. This is why when you look back on the 2026 season, this is one of the games you remember. And we're living in it right now. It's special, dude. And I want to give Jackson Merrill a shout out as well. Because Jackson Merrill, man, I know, like I mentioned, similar to Manny, the average and, you know, some of those like slash lines don't look fantastic for Jackson Merrill. But man, every time that guy comes up, John, I don't know if it's just me. I think that guy's going to hit the ball hard. He's Captain Clutch. Yeah. He's Captain Clutch. I love everybody in the chat saying that. He's Captain Clutch. He was up there, John. I feel like if you're a real Padres fan, yeah, there was obviously you're facing a lefty who they traded Harry Ford for, one of the top 100 prospects. Jose Ferreira, that was a big trade for them. They traded a top 100 catching prospect to the Nationals for that guy. He comes in. That's his job, man. Get this guy out. Lefty, lefty. We need this out. 2-2 count. Jackson rips both those foul balls. I'm like, hey, those are good swings.
Yeah.
Man, what AAB. And I truly believe deep down, I recorded that at bat because I'm like, this is the kind of guy that hits a walk-off. Like I thought he was going to hit a home run. I didn't think it was going to be a double on the line. But like, I record that. Like, there's certain players on the team where I'm like, I'm probably not going to waste my battery storage for that. Jackson Merrill is one of those guys. And what an amazing just game for that guy. I think we as Padres fans take a couple of these guys for granted, myself included. Jackson Merrill is a perfect example. That dude was a shortstop, John, coming up in the minors. Shortstop.
Yeah, crazy.
Watch this guy play center field. He's going to win a gold glove. If it's not this year, it's going to be soon. If you're telling me we have a center fielder who's 23 years old, captain clutch, that I genuinely think could hit 25 to 35 jacks, steal bags, that's a five-tool player. That is a cornerstone of the franchise. And when he's up and the fan base is rocking and he's 23 years old, that's how you keep it going. So I love it, man. I mean, as you could tell, and probably people in the chat are like, stop glazing, but I really am. You catching the DSG after a game like this, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be.
Where's Fernando? Where is Fernando?
Fernando, I got to catch
him. Dude, get Fernando over here. Come on.
Let me find him real quick. You go on a monologue, I'll find him.
Go get Fernando, okay? By the way, this is the Padres Collective. All right, John Schaefer, Matt Devine. Kevin Acey will join us shortly. We appreciate your super chats. Please subscribe. We are here for you weekly with your Padres content. We should make note, obviously, that, again, if Merrill doesn't make that play, going over the wall, robbing Julio Rodriguez, by the way, that's not just some routine, you know, he's at the wall, he's settled underneath it, he jumps a foot over the wall. No, that's a full extension, well-timed jump. Like, catch probability, I haven't seen it, but that ball off the back was 403 feet or something like that. He hits it a foot to the left or right. That ball is gone. Oh, look at this.
He got someone him.
Someone screen grab this and put this on Twitter. Screen grab this. Look at Fernando. Look at this. Dude, I need a shirt with Fernando on it.
Dude, I'll make you one. Etsy.
Yeah, I need a Fernando.
Not even Etsy. I can do Printify. I can make you one tonight.
Dude, how's Fernando going to sleep tonight?
He's a trooper, man. He, you know, people are saying I'm in boxers. I'm not in boxers. I'm in Lululemon. I'm in Lululemon shorts, everybody. Okay. Do not worry. These are Lululemon shorts. They go down to my knees. I won't lie, though, John, when I saw the comments and I saw some people say, is Matt Devine not wearing pants? I was like, this is not good.
This is great, dude. This is classic, dude. That'd be hilarious if you literally had nothing on other than a Padres shirt.
That would be so
just bad. Walking around naked.
Oh, my God. That's a my fiance. She picked a good day to have a girls' night, right? I was pretty loud.
Oh, she's out.
Yeah, so that's why I was screaming. She would have been like, hey. She would have been like watching Bravo in the other room. Like, you gotta chill out a little bit. So she is doing a little girls' night. They got Thai food, drinking some wine. I had the place to me, Nando, and Ladybug. And yeah, we were ripping. Someone says I was 30 lock-in. 29. Come on, let me live a little bit.
You're 29, but you're turning 30 or you're 30?
Turning 30, baby. June. Hey, my birthday is actually exactly 10 years and 2 days older than Ethan Salas. So June 1st. My birthday is June 3rd, 1996.
I'm June 8th.
Hey, well, we're going to have a crazy Padres collective. Dude, we got to figure out crazy. What Kevin's is. Well, maybe we do a live show for our birthdays, man. That was fun.
Dude, it's like, you know, you think that over the course of like 162, you're just like, yeah, they'd won six straight. You know, like it's baseball. Like, again, my conversation from earlier today with someone from Fangraphs. It's like, well, yeah. It's a long year. You know, there's ups and downs, like even starting 11-6, it's probably unexpected. You know, you're playing 650 baseball, whatever you are. Like, it's hard to do that over an extended period of time. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. You know, it's just Randy Vasquez today, he gets touched up a little bit. Yeah, it's, you know, the inevitabilities of like regression that play out. So, like, that's just baseball. Like, how many times have we said that over the years? That's just baseball. But what's also baseball is what they did here today. And again, I think this decade, man, listen, there have been some tough moments. I mean, they've had these playoff runs and, you know, you make an NLCS and then it doesn't work out the way you hope it would. And then 2024, I don't need to remind people about it. But there have been some really good years.
Yeah, man.
You know, and I feel like this could be, you know, you think 2022. Well, I mean, shit, the even years.
Even years is, I always thought it was a funny bit, but I believe.
I mean, shit, listen, there was 2021 too. I mean, not to be the Debbie Downer, where they had an awesome start. They were 18, 19 games over 500. At
great.
One point, and the wheels fell off, but forget about that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to believe in what I'm seeing with my own two eyes. And the offense has vastly improved over last year. The bottom of the lineup is better. Shit, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., to your point, Machado's had fine at bats. They haven't done shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you just look at it, add up their numbers, combine them, 220 with two home runs and 18. Yeah. I mean, they've done absolutely nothing. And you're 12-6. Imagine when they wake up. Like, when they wake up and they carry a team for a week or two, like, that's encouraging to think about.
John, that's what good teams do, right? People pick up the slack. Ramon Laureano has kind of been the first month, and Xander Bogaerts, too. If you look at Xander's numbers now, I think he has like an 860, 870 OPS. Like, these are the kind of guys that, hey, if Manny's having an off month, if Fernando's not hitting a lot of homers this month, good teams have other guys show up. That was one of the biggest concerns with the Pods of old, right? And even last year too, our depth in our lineup was just not good. And I think Preller made it a example and really made, or he realized, hey, we really need to kind of deepen this lineup. Ty France has looked awesome. Nick Castellanos, I know, had a tough one tonight, but like Nick Castellanos has been robbed of like two or three. He's kind of got petcoed out of like two or three home runs. I like watching him swing the bat. I feel like he goes up there and he's trying. I don't like watching him play the field, but I like watching him swing the bat. If I don't have to ever see Nick Castellanos play right field again, I'll be a happy camper. But I do like watching him swing the bat. Gavin Sheets continues to improve. You know, it's a solid squad, man. I've just been very, very impressed with the fight, very impressed with the at bats. You know, like I said, not a lot of teams come back 6-2 against Andrés Muñoz. He might not have had his best stuff today, but that being said, it's not like he was throwing cookies and it's not like he walked everyone. He had one walk. Everything else was really good baseball. Like, it's not like it was like, oh, he couldn't find the zone. Proud of this team, man. And that I see someone in the chat talking about Xander. What a good feeling for Xander Bogaerts, right? Hey, if Xander Bogaerts can play like he does now, no one will remember. Hey, it will never be a good contract. But man, if you could give us 1 year where you play like an all-star, that would fire me up, man. It really would.
I know. Just give me that one. Just give me put one it all year. Together. One Boston. Year. Maybe that's asking for too much. I will say this about Castellanos, to your point. Yeah. I mean, they've had some moments in the outfield where it's been like, this probably isn't the greatest idea. But I'll say this, man. Having watched last year, I'll take offense over defense every day of the week. If I lose a game on a freaking error, I lose a game on that. So what are the odds? You know, like, again, over 162, you'll lose a game because of a poorly played ball or two. Sure. But you know what? I'd rather win it with my bats than be like, well, yeah, but we got the best defensive alignment in there and we're going to bunt our way to a win. Like, that shit didn't work last year. Like, they grinded out and squeezed out 90 wins somehow. Like, I don't know how they did. They were in scoreless games against Colorado in September and bunting guys over in the first inning. I'm like, what are you doing? This is not how you should be playing these games. This isn't going to win you a World Series. It's like, you know what? Let's get cute. Get unconventional. 18 lineups in 18 games. Move guys around. Play Tatis at second. You're trying to win World Series. It's been around since 1969. Nothing's been won. You got to get creative. You got to try things that haven't happened. You
creative
know?
Craig, baby. Creative Craig. I like creative it. Craig. Hey, the thing, and I mentioned this to my brother, and I truly believe this. Craig Sammons in an interesting spot, right? You know, we interview all these guys. We interview Albert Pujols. We interview, you know, some big names for the manager spot. Hey, do you want to be the manager of the Padres? You're in a division with the Dodgers, you know, big, selling out all these games, all this stuff. And for whatever reason, we didn't pick anyone. And AJ's like, hey, Craig, are you down to do it, right? Are you down to be the manager? Out of the door. Craig's like, all right, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, whatever. And he goes in. And obviously, there's going to be some growing pains. And there's going to be some times where we're like, man, I wouldn't have made that move, especially early. You know, first week of the season, there's a couple of things. Hey, forget about it after a couple of weeks. What I really like about Craig Stammen is when you see his interviews, he's a pretty calm cucumber. I don't know if it's because he's a reliever or what, but he doesn't seem like he gets too high. He doesn't seem like he gets too high or too low. When the DSG is screaming that we suck in the first week, and then, you know, this week I'm saying we're going to be, you know, me and you are going to have a parade outside Bubs when we win the World Series. Like, I am a roller coaster. Our fan base is a roller coaster. Sometimes you need a just, you know, easy going, calm Craig. Seems like the
calm Craig.
Hey, it seems like the team likes him, right? Like Tatis, hey, off day for Tati, off day for Manny, off the. I don't think Schilt was liked, to be completely honest. I think he was kind of an asshole, to be completely honest. I don't like necessarily, you know, stomping on someone when they're down, but Luis Campusano is a perfect example. For whatever reason, Campy and Schilt really didn't like each other, and Campy was probably almost out of baseball. Campy was going to be, you know.
I thought he was going to be freaking sold for cash to Cincinnati in July. I thought the deadline was at 1 p.m. I thought at 1:06 we'd see Luis Campusano to Cincinnati for 50 grand.
100%. And you see this guy, Craig, right? And Craig obviously pitched when Campy was a, you know, catcher for a little bit. I think maybe they were on the team maybe for like a spring training or something. I don't know how much they overlapped. But you see him believe in a guy, right? And it's not like a weird belief. The thing I like about Craig Sammon is he's like, hey, we're getting a new owner. AJ might be out. New owner might be like, hey, I don't like this guy. And if AJ's out, Craig's probably out. But Craig's like, hey man, I'll try this. And maybe Craig Stammen is, you know, the manager of the Padres for the next 20 years. And he's our Bobby Cox. And we're just like, man, this is, we love Craig Stammen. This is our guy. And maybe not. But what I've liked so far is it seems like this guy is, it doesn't seem like he's in over his head, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah, I will say this, dude. I like what he's saying right now with the media. Like, he's so honest compared to Shill. He's like, yeah, freaking, you know, we were hoping for better news on the MRI from Pivetta. He's got a flexor strain. Like, yeah, it's going to be weeks, could be months. Like, he's not sugarcoating. Like, when Tatis isn't hitting, or Manny, he's like, or Manny, he's like, he's not a spring chicken. Like, he needs to have days off. I'm like, Mike Shill would call this guy, like, the second coming of Babe Ruth before he would call him not a spring chicken. I appreciate that he's just being himself. Honestly, I think there's things to learn. The first week it was moving quick.
Yeah.
Right. The bullpen usage hasn't been perfect. Saying Matt Waldron has hemorrhoids probably isn't ideal. You could just sit out with a virus. You know what I mean? There's some things you probably want to clean up along the way. All things considered though, breath of fresh air. I spent so much time the last 2 years, dude, just examining what Mike Shildt would say postgame. My whole freaking radio show and YouTube shows have been based on Mike Shildt.
Yeah.
I would spend 45 minutes on what Mike Shildt would say or wouldn't say. It's a breath of fresh air to have like a normal guy. To your point, it's not even piling on. Just Shildt's a good manager, proven in St. Louis and San Diego. I think he manages again, by the way. I truly believe I think he 100% manages again. He's not 100% old.
No, he's not old. He'll be back.
But it's just like, to me, it's a breath of fresh air. I was kind of over it. And managers sometimes have short tenures. Maybe Craig will have a longer one, but it's like you get a couple of years, but maybe it grows old and then there's a new manager. So like to each their own. I think the Padres might be better off and Mike Shildt's going to be fine, obviously.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, Shildt, you know, he won us two back-to-back 90-win seasons. Hey, nothing but love, right? That being said, he's old news. We got our new guy. And what I was thinking about, John, and I'm curious your perspective on this, and I saw like a little meme and it kind of like hit me, and I was like, that's kind of how I need to start looking. It's like, sometimes you got to just root for your boys, man. I think sometimes we overthink a lot of this stuff. I'm watching that ninth inning and I'm like, hey, this is just fun. I'm rooting for these dudes, right? And there's going to be days. Randy Vasquez didn't have his best stuff today. I still love Randy Vasquez. I'm not going to go on Twitter and be like, well, the Cinderella found her shoe or whatever, like the ball dropped, like Randy Vasquez sucks now. It's like, no, you got to ride with your boys. Sometimes guys are going to suck. Sometimes Fernando's going to go 19 games without a homer. Every time he's up there, I'm still rooting for my man. Like that's the way. And I feel like sometimes, and it's obviously easier after a win like that. We'll probably be on this show in a couple weeks and I'll be like, oh, you know, but I got to catch myself and remind myself like, that's what it's all about. You root for your team, man.
Oh, wait, hold on. We're about to have a very special surprise here.
Oh, yes.
We are about to have a very special surprise. Uh-oh, how do I do this now? Let's see here. Oh,
Kev.
Oh, hey, I hope I didn't disappoint people. You might have thought it was Jackson Merrill going to show up here after that.
Dude, we need to get – hold on. I need to get someone from the collective in here. I don't know how to do this.
Oh, now you guys are gone on me.
No, you see me?
He's coming in to help. I'm freaking terrible, man.
No, John, you're a host, baby. Hey, you're not a tech. Hey, I never
took on the technology. I messed everything up, didn't I, guys?
Here comes our man. He's hooking it up. What's going on here?
Here we go.
Stand by.
Did I get you?
No. This is what was happening with me. There's always. Can you guys hear us still?
I can hear you guys now.
He says it's a StreamYard glitch.
Oh,
hey, because that's what we had, dude.
It's all this is showing is that my face isn't as straight.
Let's
as
go
I
with
thought,
this.
Right?
Oh, there. Yes.
What are you guys talking about? Let's what are you guys go. Talking about?
Well, we were just talking about. Did you see the Masters?
Yeah, exactly. Right. we're talking about the puffer vest, Kevin. So
puffer vest.
We got nothing else to talk about tonight.
Kevin, take us through your day because you weren't initially scheduled to work this game, right? You were traveling today And then all of a sudden,
yeah, you find yourself in another country this morning. Yeah, I was in another country this morning. I got back about game time, just sitting here watching the game at a hotel across the street. Because I got to be back tomorrow. I live, a little bit away. So wanted to keep up with the game. And I said to myself, you know what? If they win this game, it's 7 in a row. And then they won. They won after being down 6-2. They won with like this incredible string of at bats that is like the, like, personification of their whole winning streak almost. Yeah. Like, just so I had to get across the street and go see these guys, see what they had to say, and now write a newsletter for tomorrow.
Dude, I mean, Kevin, you have the person. We're just talking about, like, 2024, we go back to the 8-0 game, or just some teams have these special moments. Even that ninth inning, it's kind of like a 1 in 1,000 inning. You get the ball that Sheets hits and the ball that Merrill hits and the 0-2 pitch to Campy. And the anti-doubles defense and Laureano dunks one in. And Merrill's ball hits the chalk. I mean, again, what are the odds of that all playing out? 1 in 1,000,000. So, like, you have the perspective of this, right? I mean, the Padres, it's not like every day you just come back from 4 runs down against Andrés Muñoz or 6-0 down late in the game. That's a special, special game.
What's great is you can have a bunch of good at-bats and lose. Have a bunch of good 100%. At-bats and get one hit or two hits and then 3 outs. And then you can have nights like this, and it's almost like, look, they had been getting the breaks, if you want to say, that were paying them back for the first, say, week or so. But tonight was like, oh, yeah. Well, we owed you. And that's not this. They were great. I'm not trying to call this luck. But like you said, there's a bunch of stuff that had to happen tonight. Cue shot, some sort of weird golf shot that Ty France did. And he's been crushing the ball. And he, rolls one out at, I don't know how fast his was, but anyway, just a really good game too, because that kid tonight was that starting pitcher.
He was great.
Man, yeah. And I've seen so many Mariners pitchers do that to Padres. And then, like, where, say, 2023 times last year, where it's like, so he's out, and then the next 3 innings are just like 3-3-3, game over. That's not how this Padres team is. And I'm not going to get too excited about a 7-game win streak, but, like, this is, like, the cool thing about this isn't, like, out of nowhere. This is how they've been playing. Like, this is what I was wanting to talk about tonight anyway. Had they – whatever happened in tonight's game, this is what I was going to talk about, is the kind of at-bats they're taking.
Yeah, we were just saying that before you hopped on, Kevin, was, like, me and John were going to hop on here and be, like, this team is playing great
baseball.
Well. Like, playing great baseball. If we lost 6-2, if we lost 6-5, if Merrill doesn't get that hit, I would have been – this would have been an extremely, extremely positive episode, no matter what. And that was just the cherry on top. And I loved your point, Kev, about, hey, sometimes that's what's fun about baseball, right? Sometimes sometimes it giveth, it taketh away, right? And I always like to say, and I forget if it was my grandma, my mom, or someone said this when I was growing up, but it's better to be lucky than good, right? And sometimes, especially in a sport like baseball, that's the case. Hey, there's going to be some games in the 162 that we play that we're probably going to be on the other side of this. So what I like to say is enjoy tonight. I'll see you at 5:40 tomorrow, right? Because that was awesome. And also, welcome back to Stateside, Big Kev. It's I don't know if I'm not saying you're the reason, but if you were out of the country, I don't know if we win this game.
You know what was great? You know what was cool? And I don't like to read too much into small sample size or too much into one night, but the way that I see this team walk away from games like this is different than some previous seasons, right? It's almost like a been there, done that. That's not to say they don't enjoy it, because they do, but also like that clubhouse is pretty much empty right now. They got another game at 5:40 tomorrow, right? I think it was really that's why I was jazzed. Like, did I just say jazzed?
Yeah, I love it.
That's why I was stoked to get over across the way to get there, because I just thought this was like an illustrative win of what's been happening with this team.
Yeah, I mean, and I would say this. We touched on this earlier, and I didn't want to really like lower the vibes, but it feels to me like the Pivetta situation that played out Sunday, it's almost like you're removed from it, because that was a bit of a downer, but they win last night. and they win tonight. We all understand that Nick Pivetta is an important piece. Everyone gets it. You can't get around that. But here's the thing. It's not October 1st.
No.
You're not missing your game one or two starter. Like there's time for them as an organization to figure it out. There's time for Nick Pivetta, hopefully, to get healthy. If he does, amazing. If he doesn't, they will have options. You got the most creative GM in the sport. It's not ideal. The rotation was a question mark probably, and probably now is more so because of the situation. But it's like, you know what? It's April. You're 12-6. Teams deal with injuries, including now the San Diego Padres. So, yeah, it's a storyline, no doubt. Are they worse without him? Of course they are. But I think in the short term, they're going to be absolutely fine. If this is something that's 4, 5, 6 months or whatever, yeah, it's a big, big problem. But let's see how it plays out in the weeks ahead. And if it doesn't work out positively, they'll address it. But in the short term, they have figured out a way to win baseball games in general, no matter who's on the mound. And we'll see if that continues or not.
It could be a big problem if it's a month, but you're right about, you know, what you say. And look, Cruz Schoolcraft and Ethan Salas were on the market this offseason. Like, you think this guy's not going to swing a deal for a number one or number two starter if he has to? I mean, he's going to. And, you know, you do have Matt Waldron. You've got to see what he can do. You got Griffin Canny. You've got to see what he can do. And you got to see what happens with Joe Musgrove and Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, John, I don't know if you listen to a lot of Lil Wayne. I know Kevin definitely does, but there's my favorite lines from him is "Real G's move in silence like lasagna," right? Because lasagna doesn't sound like
a silent G.
It doesn't have a G. So I like to say AJ Preller reminds me of that line a lot, right? Because as fans, we love playing fake GM. We love playing fan GM. Oh, we should trade for Taj Bradley. Oh, we should trade for Joe Ryan. We should trade for, you know, Shane McClanahan from the Rays. Like, this is, we should do all this stuff. You think Prelert's not cooking something, man? You know, it's like, I trust that guy. Hey, has he made some crazy trades? Yeah. But hey, there's no one I'd rather have when the team is playing good baseball that knows he has to make something happen than AJ Preller. I'm not worried about him sitting pat at the deadline is my biggest. There's a lot of teams that go into the deadline looking fantastic, don't make a move, end up going on a little bit of a skid a la New York Mets last year. And you look back and you're like, hey, we didn't make the playoffs. Thank God we have our, you know, number 3 overall prospect, number 70 on Fangraphs that can't hit in the major leagues and is going to be DFA'd in about 2 years. Thank God we have him. It's like, no, like Preller, for better or for worse, once you trade Leo Dallas DeVries, everyone's on the table for the rest of time. Send it. Make something happen. Oh, we're going to go from the 28th ranked farm to the 29th ranked farm. Man, hopefully when I'm sitting in my season tickets for the NLDS, I'll really be bummed about, you know, X player that is now on the, you know, Washington Nationals farm system.
Kevin, you missed this earlier, by the way. I don't know if you can see this on my screen.
Whoa.
Yeah, this Fernando. Is what you missed. Fernando.
My fiance is a big fan that Fernando is getting the spotlight. She also thinks Ladybug deserves some, but we'll see. Ladybug's a little bit more low-key.
Can we get back to this in one moment? I want to try to do the Prize Picks promotion. That is the title sponsor of the collective. Now, we've had a couple of technical issues, we being me, potentially. Bear with me for a moment. Okay. Boom. How about that? Just like that. Okay. Guys, help me out. I'm going to lean on you, Matt, for a moment. This is Padres Mariners tomorrow. Okay. So you got Luis Castillo starting 540. Again, vibes are high. You taking him for more or less than 4.5 strikeouts tomorrow?
I'm gonna pass on the strikeouts for Castillo if possible. Okay. I think we got a Walker Buehler on the bump. I'm taking Luke Rayleigh as my only pick for the Mariners because I can't. Okay. You always have to pick one in both teams, right? So you can't just pick Padres. So give me Luke Rayleigh hits, runs, RBIs, maybe. Probably
there he is. Hold on, there he is. I mean, we could lower his total. What about
more 2.5? Perfect. Let's do
2.5 is a big number. Okay. We'll go 2.5.
Actually, 1.5. Let's do if he hits a double. Okay, I don't want him to do too well, to be completely honest. So I feel like if we give him, because I bet on him today and he hit like he was like Mickey Mantle. So I should probably chill.
What do you want to do with the Padres in terms of total bases?
I mean, we got Luis Castillo on the bump. I'm going to go, and Kevin and John, you could help. Sheetsy's been hitting the ball really hard, man. He had two good pieces. Maybe Sheets over bases, 1.5.
Yeah, we'll go higher than 1.5.
And then I think Manny Machado seems like he's due for an extra base hit. So maybe a Machado over bases or maybe even a home run. But the only issue with home runs is I'll pick a home run. I'll post our picks. That'll be the only one that doesn't hit. And then we'll get responses being like, man, you guys can never win a bet. I'm like, home runs are hard. Runs are hard.
How about this? This is what I'm going to do, guys. Because now you only, listen to this, $10 pays 90, and you only have to hit 2 out of 3 of Luke Raley, Gavin Sheets, Manny Machado, more than 1.5 total bases. We get two of those out of three. We're hitting 9-1. So what do you guys think about that? Yeah.
I had no idea. Why am I not a gambler?
I'm doing it.
When we did the first time when I was in Pittsburgh, the next day, I think we got 2 out of 3. We had the wrong guy get the homer.
Yeah,
we did, but I didn't select 2 out of 3. I went for it all. Like the bigger payout if you go 3 for 3. But I like to hedge.
John's all in, baby. I love it.
For our viewers right now, play $5, get $50 instantly with promo code HMA. Click the link in the description down below. Play $5, get $50 instantly with promo code HMA. Again, click that link in the description down below. Can we get back to here? Boom. Look at that, man. We're like tech whizzes.
I love it.
Right here.
Sometimes you got to go through the bad. This is what the Padres will tell you. You got to go through the bad to really figure it out. And it feels like that's what you've done tonight, John.
I feel like that's exactly what I've done.
Yeah.
Kevin, in general, I mean, you've been covering, you've been reporting, you've been traveling. Has anything fundamentally changed since 2-5, or is it just the product of it's 1 week of baseball and the next 2 weeks have been better than the first? Like what has been different during this, 10-11 now?
I think it would be accurate to say that it's just baseball, but like, of course it's more than that. And it's more consistent, like really good at bats. And like guys like Luis Campusano have really kind of come into their, where you can see his confidence is just soaring. It's just soaring. Beautiful, you know, job tonight coming off the bench and having, you know, just big at bat, like one of the highlights of the night, I think, because it's Luis Campusano and, you know, wow, here's a guy. I mean, you mean you can count on Luis Campusano in big moments. So like almost everybody is having really good at bats all the time. Like I'm actually surprised at how long it's gone on, because I think this was game 18. And I would say most of the games I've walked away and gone, you know what? I thought their plan was pretty good. And then I'll ask people about it. And, you know, I'm wrong about it sometimes, but I really do think that that's been the thing. So it's almost like a combination of both. It's been, this is how they've been playing all year. And things are going their way now, but they're going their way because they're giving themselves a chance, you know, for that to happen.
And I was saying this too, Kevin, before you hopped on. I think we're going to talk obviously about the offense, and we're going to talk a lot about that ninth inning because that was a special inning. Great at-bats, stringing together hits, Manny with the walk, you know, everything. We got to give a lot of credit to guys like Alec Jacob. You got to give credit to Wandy Peralta. You know, these are the kind of guys that when you have a memorable win like this, I feel like, you know, and which is ironic because our manager was one of these guys, right? He was one of these middle relievers who understands that without Alec Jacob going in there and putting in 2 scoreless, we don't win that game. If Wandy gives up another hit, he had runners on first and second with 2 outs. Like that is how you win baseball games. It's not just one person. It's not just Jackson Merrill. It's not just Ramon. It's not just Manny. It's not just Randy V. It's a team effort. And when good teams, and you said this earlier, Kevin, when you hopped in, and I completely agree. Hey, it's not the end of the season. We're going to go through stretches. But developing an identity, and I think we touched on this, John, before, you know, in one of our first episodes. Does the team have an identity on April 15th? Probably, I wouldn't say they do yet, but if you continue playing like this and continue with this kind of like don't give up energy where you're not giving up at bats, and you're down 6-2 against one of the best relievers in baseball, and you come back and you win, like that is how you develop an identity. It doesn't even have to be a name. It's just a confidence. And you said it about Campy. You could tell on a lot of these players. Jackson Merrill went up there. He's like, Jackson Merrill, there was not an ounce of Jackson Merrill that thought he wasn't getting a hit. That's incredible.
Right. And Jackson Merrill always does, right? Like that, he always thinks he is for the most part. That's the vibe he puts off. But yes, you're totally right. They're building toward that, like where they started to say it a little while ago, and I thought it was a little peculiar. Like, hey, we know we can get a hit anytime, and I'm looking at the sheet going, really? You do? Why don't you then? But because while I have been defending them all along in these great at bats, like you got to get some results, but the results are what bring more results.
Can I bring this up, by the way, guys, from Sarah Langs, who, you know, does stats at MLB and has all these wonderful notes. And maybe Kevin has seen this. Obviously, this is available to people that cover baseball. But Sarah tweeting out that this is the first Padres win when trailing by 4+ runs entering the ninth since June 14, 2019. They won that game in extras, though. It's their first time they won a game by trailing by four or more runs entering the ninth and won it in nine since September 9th, 2017. So about 9 years since they overcame a four-run deficit and won in regulation. So again,
I would love to see some names in that lineup. I might have to look that up.
So two things. Like, been a long time. Wow, that's amazing. That's how rare this is. Second, that also shows you that, like, it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
It doesn't mean it. But that's the beauty of it. It's like a roll of the dice. It's like, yeah, you sometimes you get the number that you're looking for. Like, well, what are the odds of that? But, like, to the team, probably. I completely agree with that, yes, by the way. Because you might lose a game like this. You might have Mason Miller on a mound with two outs in the ninth inning, up a run, and be like, well, we have won this game. And then somehow, not only is it tied, you lose. Like, it's just baseball. But to the team of the clubhouse, they don't know what I just said. You know, Kevin, how players see things. They see this as just a shot in the arm. And they see it as like, hey, we did something that is really special. And yeah, I agree. You watch 1,000 baseball games and weird things happen. And I think tonight is an indicator of that.
Three walk-offs in a week or whatever it is, right? Like three walk-offs, yep, during this seven-game span, coming back, losing leads, and then winning a game. And I explain this to people all the time that, like, it doesn't matter what we think, what we write, what someone tweets. What matters is what the players think. Because exactly, if they think it, then it can be true. So if they believe in momentum, then momentum is real. If they believe that they can get a hit at any time, truly believe it, then they can get a hit at any time. What the players believe, and you nailed it, that this is big for them.
I'm looking right now from that 2017 team, because that perked my ears a little bit, right? Because I've watched, I mean, you both as well. We've watched some pretty bad Padres teams. So I heard September 9th, 2017, and it was the San Diego Padres versus the Arizona Diamondbacks. Pods were down 6-2 going into the ninth. They score six runs. That lineup included Manuel Margot leading off, Carlos Asuaje playing second, Jose Perella batting third, Yanharvis Pilarte playing short, Will Myers, Corey Spangenberg, Jabari Blash, Austin Hedges, and on the bump was Jolice Chacin. So if you're listening to that and you're saying, I have no idea who any of these people are, I'm not judging. That being said, as someone that watched every one of those games, it also is a nice reminder of, like, I got to watch Jackson Merrill every day. I got to watch Manny Machado every day. Like, man, if I could have told myself 2017, I was, you know, a senior, junior in college, probably wasn't actually watching as many Padres games as I am now. I was probably, you know, bouncing around a little bit. But, man, that team – to now, it's special.
I know, it sucks that team was so much better. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, exactly. It does suck that we have to live
through
this.
The tickets are cheaper, for sure. I could get behind home plate pretty quick.
Dude, 2017 is the year specifically, and there were many years before this, but you go to 2017 specifically, you go on like a Tuesday night, there's no one there. And it starts to change, right? I mean, the Machado, Hosmer, whatever, how it all plays out. But I mean, 2017 specifically, there's nobody there. And that's correct. That's not that long ago, yeah, in the grand scheme. Same ballpark. I mean, post-Chargers, by the way. The 2017 season is being played without the Chargers in San Diego, and there's no one there.
Yeah, man.
So, well, the team stunk, and I want to give a little credit here to the other side, too, because the reason they keep selling out is the star players and the wins, right? That's the main thing. But they also didn't time their giveaways or have as good a giveaways as they do now. Now they identify a Wednesday night against Seattle, and, you know, not everyone's all, you know, hyped up about the Vetter Cup. So what should we do? Oh, let's do puffer jackets. Boom, sell out. Like, yeah, there's a very symbiotic relationship now, where it kind of used to be like, let's just go to Petco Park and have some fun because we don't really know what this team, I mean, whatever. So I think I just wanted to make sure I pointed out the puffer jackets help.
It's the puffer jackets. One thing I did want to look at is we were going to talk about Pivetta, which we did. We briefly touched, Kevin, before you came here, just on the offense in general. Like, I looked 2 days ago, and I want to say all of a sudden the Padres were seventh in OPS in baseball. And now I'm curious. I'm just like, I'm going to see if I can find it quickly. Like, team stats, like, are they top five in baseball in some of these offensive categories, which is just kind of crazy to think about. I'm trying to see.
Yeah, that's even seventh would be up 19 spots, right? Like, I don't know what their average is, but I was down at 28 or 29 back when they were 2-5. So,
yeah, like I'm looking right now, actually. Yeah, I think they're, maybe coming into today, they were 698, which is more like 12th or 13th. But, you know, the fluctuation between one game when you've only played 17 or 18 games. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, offense markedly better, bottom of the lineup markedly better.
The core four. I mean, over the last, is batting like 400 over the last five games. So, like, you know, that helps a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I'm looking right now, right? And we said this earlier, Kev, I don't know if you were on, right? And I could be a little harsh on Manny sometimes. I feel like I give him some tough love. My brother and a lot of my friends are like, you got to chill on Manny, man. You're going to regret when, you know, I'm older and I'm like, I miss watching Manny Machado play. Manny Machado's slash line right now does not look great. But, man, that guy is putting up some good ABs, watching a lot, seeing a lot of pitches, getting on base. We were saying, my brother and I would tweet, we're calling him Machado BP. That guy is just getting on base, man. And you got that. And then, hey, I've been a Xander Bogaerts hater, and I think he's still getting paid an outrageous amount of money for probably what he's going to end up, you know, when we look at the back of his contract, you know, in 10 years, we're going to be like, that might have been a little bit of an overpay. But what I like about Xander Bogaerts, Kev, and John, and I said this on the podcast, I think earlier, Xander seems like a guy that cares, man. Hey, you could easily be Anthony Rendon. The fan base would hate you. Hey, just don't go on social media. You still got that money. It's all good, right? You could, Xander Bogaerts could easily be Anthony Rendon. There's no, I mean, obviously, you know, some self-pride, but there's really nothing stopping him outside of that. Xander shows up to the park. He works hard. And it's finally, some of those fruits of his labor are finally starting to happen. And it seems like he's confident when he's at the plate. That home run off Emerson Hancock, we couldn't touch that guy. That was an awesome. And that ball, that wasn't a cheapie either. That ball was ripped.
Everything you say, there's no getting around about Xander's contract. My advice for people that want the Padres to do well is, like, kind of enjoy Xander for what he gives you at this point, right? Don't be thinking about the future, because I don't even know if Xander would argue with you that 39 and 40 aren't going to be great. You know, don't be putting everything, because I do, for sure I do. Like, and I think if you want to deal in reality, yes, you have to measure him against the 25 mil a year. But, like, don't measure everything against the 25 mil a year. Like, Xander Bogaerts, if he is no longer a void in your lineup, and he's playing solid shortstop and giving you some good timely hits, then, you know, great. And about Manny, some of those walks have been works of art, man. And that, look, if at the end of the year we're still talking about Manny's walks, that's a whole other thing. Or if even in June we're still talking about Manny's walks and we don't have a lot of home runs to talk about or big hits, then. But I'm saying that right now, some of these walks are really brilliant.
This was a good night, gentlemen. I mean, this is one of those games we were saying earlier, Kevin, where it's like, yeah, I sent out a tweet earlier that said, "Circle this moment if the Padres win when Merrill made the catch on J-Rod." It was 2-0. It's like the third inning. It, you know, hey, you can win this game. Then it's 6-0. I quote tweeted the tweet. I'm like, or not. And then they win a game. But again, a game like this, the only way to win it is you need something like that. Like, of course he made that catch, which gave you an opportunity. Or, for example, Fermin leaves this game. Thankfully, he's all right per Stammen post game. He leaves the game. Campy has a big hit. I mean, we'll never know. Maybe Fermin would have as well. But it's like those things you look back on. You're like, oh, that's interesting. Merrill makes this great catch. It just wasn't an average catch. He wasn't sitting at the wall and went a foot over the wall. No, he timed the jump perfectly. Fermin leaves a game. That doesn't happen every single game that players play. And it just, everything aligned for nine innings, you know, when they needed it to. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything happens that you hope does tomorrow, but it's just stars aligned for one night for the Padres. So great night is what I would say.
Great night. I can't argue that, man. You got to enjoy, right? Well, I was when you sent that text, John, and you sent the link, I was like, oh, man. I'm like, all right, like, I'll get ready for it. You know, I got to come up with, like, kind of a cope, as some of the people will say. It's like, hey, like, you know, we're still playing well, and people are going to be like, oh, you're coping, like, we suck again, all this stuff. And, man, what an easier episode, and what a fun episode to be with you guys on this, man. And it's, the Nicky P stuff is tough, and we could. I know we're about an hour in, and I know some people, I have no idea about your guys' schedules, but You know, the Nicky P injuries, it sucks. But at the same time, right, when you're a good team and when you're a team that seems like you're believing a little bit, you know, you're going to make things happen. Matt Waldron's coming up. If Matt Waldron can give us, you know, five innings, two runs, three runs, five innings with this offense and how they're playing, we played two pretty solid. We played some good pitchers this year, guys. Paul Skenes, Tarek Skubal, Framber Valdez, Brian Wu. You know,
it's a good point.
Even the guy today,
this kid tonight was dealing.
Yeah, it was really
good. This kid today was probably the best one out of all of them. It's like we're not playing these. You know, it's not me on the bump. These are some real guys, and you're putting up good ABs. Brian Wu yesterday, Xander's AB in the third or fourth inning was a work of art. That was absolutely incredible. Got at bat where he hits the two RBIs. We win a close game against a great pitcher. Michael King didn't have his best stuff, but made it happen. That is what good teams do. You know, hey, we're going to play games where we blow the team out. We're going to play some games where we don't come back down 6-2 and we end up losing by a lot. But good teams win games like last night, and then special teams win games like tonight. I'm just going to say it. Not every team, no matter how good you are, wins a game like this. This was a fun win, and I'm going to remember this win for a while.
All right, guys.
Until tomorrow's loss.
No. Until tomorrow, exactly. Yeah.
Kevin, like I said, I'm happy. I'm in a good mood right now, man. I look back on my.
You should be. Absolutely.
I look back on my old self, just a mere 2 weeks ago, and what a young novice mind, and now I'm
that's
never
why. That again. That's why I think it's okay to be down like that at 2-5, and I think it's okay to be up like this after seven straight wins and a win like this. There's a part of me that envies that you get to do that. You know, where I'm like constantly, okay, how do I put this in context? Why is this not a big deal? I think that's really cool.
Yeah, that's why the show works, right? You got the greatest host on the internet. You got the absolute delusional guy that's either way too high or way too low. And then you got the straight edge Kevin Acey, man. And I love seeing when John shows me a little emotion. John's usually pretty
awesome.
This one, I could tell John was feeling it a little bit. He was hyped on this when we hopped on.
This is a great win. This is a great game. Let's put a bow on this. Let's wrap this, guys. Please subscribe. We're going to be with you each and every week. I think the next episode is going to be Monday. That's a Padres off day. Is that correct? I think Monday is a Padres off day. We'll be with you. Yeah, on Monday night, Kevin will be on the road. So we'll do it again on Monday. Please subscribe. Thank you for the super chats. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks as well. You know where to find Kevin Acey, which is in the UT. You know where to find Matt Devine, which is everywhere with DSG. You know where to find me, which is on 760, 3-6 with Alan Sliwa, Schaefer and Sliwa. Kevin will be on the show coming up on Friday. All right, this has been the Padres Collective presented by Prize Picks. What a night for the Padres. A miraculous come-from-behind walk-off win with 5 in the 9th, shocking the Mariners at Petco for a 7th straight win. All right, we'll see you on Monday right here on the Padres Collective. Thanks, guys. Thank you.